everyone. Welcome to another episode of Classic Gaming Brothers Premium Edition Lounge Edition. Too many editions. But anyway, I'm Seth.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Barry.
And we are the Classic Gaming Brothers
and Barry.
It's great.
Beautiful. Print.
I like how you dumped all the intro notes right at the beginning, and where we also have the leave, so I almost just closed out the episode when reading through this. Just been like, and that's done. And not only do I like wasting my brother's time, I also like wasting Barry's.
Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last.
If you're having fun, is it truly wasted time?
Well, Barry, welcome back to our show. Always happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yes.
It's always a pleasure.
Barry, it's been a while. I think the last time you were here, the leaves were falling, and now the leaves are springing.
Correct.
The last time we had you on, you were a brand new father as well.
Yes.
That's correct.
Now you're an
yes.
experienced father, and your child yes. is thriving.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say experienced, but thriving, yes, thankfully.
That's good.
Excellent.
Good. Hopefully things have metered out a little bit in regards to your fatherdom, where you got like a lay of the land now, and things are not so like crazy, or it's all controlled and stuff like that now.
It was always pretty good. My son is very, very well behaved, knock on
nice.
wood. But no, I mean, he hasn't started crawling yet. That's gonna be the big one when he starts crawling and walking, because then it'll be a little bit harder, and it's gonna happen very soon. But he's well behaved. He sleeps well, he eats well, he has good mannerisms. He likes to play. He's just an awesome little guy. Like, we couldn't ask for a better baby.
Yeah. If there's one thing Seth and I weren't, was well behaved.
I was a very well behaved child. I was
you watched me roll down the stairs.
I was
nothing about it.
I wasn't a child at that time. I was decidedly older.
You were decidedly around 7.
Yeah, at 7 years old, I feel like your behavior is now your control. I feel like before you can like form memories, your behavior is instinct. Before I could form memories, my behavior was great. Once it became part of my control, yes, I did watch my brother fall down the stairs, and he's still alive, so it's fine.
I don't think it affected me too much.
So Barry, tell us, it's been a while since we've talked. An entire winter has passed. What video games have you been playing lately?
Lately, did Princess Peach Showtime that just came out. I'm working my way through Dragon's Dogma 2 slowly, not as quickly as I would have wanted. It has its pros and cons.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
there. I mean, I don't remember much when doing the first game about like the travel. Like, I felt it was. I didn't really find it overly difficult until the very, very end. Like the post game, I found overly difficult. And this isn't necessarily overly difficult, but it's ramped up challenge. And there's a lot of modern conveniences that are missing from this game. Like, fast travel is in the game, but you have to use an item that you don't always have. So you have to trek everywhere. Saving is the worst, because you have two ways of saving. You can save at an inn, which costs money, or you can save just by pushing start and hitting save, which is fantastic, except the game also auto saves, and there's only one save slot. So it will auto save right before an encounter. So if you have a major encounter about to happen, it will auto save. And if you're in a really crappy spot when it auto saves, and you die, you just keep reloading it, you're SOL, and the only way to continue your game is to reload the last in save, and who knows how many hours back that was. So if there were multiple save slots like normal games, it wouldn't be an issue at all. And if there was fast travel, I think the game would be infinitely better, but I find myself caring less and less about doing side quests, because I'm like, oh, that's all the way out over there. Do I really want to trek all the way? Nah, I don't really care, you know? Like, versus fast travel, where I could trek there, warp back to town, bing, bang, boom, done. But I'm working my way through that. I'm having fun. And, you know, Final Fantasy 14, I'm still playing, waiting for Dawn Trail to come out. The 16 event just launched.
Nice.
Amongst some many other games that I won't bore everybody with. But I do have a myriad of other titles I'm working on and stuff I can talk about and can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I mean, we are a video game podcast, so you're probably not going to bore too many people by just listing video games. I mean, that's what we do on a
Hold on. Let me get the list out now.
Some of our episodes are just us listing video games. So.
Wow. So speaking of video games, that's why we have you on here. And I think I jumped the gun in regard to asking you about your video games. So we should probably level set everybody with who you are. Barry and Premium Edition Games represent a piece of space in our studio. They pay and lease a sign that we turn on whenever Barry comes over. It's great. Sometimes we use it when he's not here so that we can see where we're going.
Yeah,
and...
but it has a meter on it, so we shouldn't
do that
too
much. It does have a meter. But Barry is a representative of the Premium Edition Games company, and this is now his seventh appearance on our show. He has come on so often that we gave him this dedicated series where we just have him come on and talk about what they're doing, because it's always really cool, and they're always doing new stuff because they bring on new games to publish, and there's always something new to talk about with Barry. For anyone who hasn't listened to any of the previous Premium Edition Lounge episodes, why don't you give us a little bit of an elevator pitch about who you are and what your role is with Premium Edition.
Sure. So Premium Edition Games, we're a physical publishing company that we take digital-only titles and we bring them out physically for the Switch and PlayStation. You know, what I do there, I do a myriad of different things. I do head of outreach to developers and publishers. I do head of customer relations. I do other tasks like writing the script and editing, not video editing, but like overseeing the editing of the directs that we do, just amongst many, many hats that I wear. The entire team is like that. The entire team does a lot of different jobs and a lot of different tasks, and we have to stay a well-oiled machine to function, and we wouldn't exist without anyone in the team. So, the real stars of Premium Edition are everybody in it, and we just try and do right by all our developer and publishing partners, because without them we wouldn't have any games to put out, and we value each and every one of their relationships and their partnerships with us. And then of course all our supporters who have gone to premiumeditiongames.com, who have purchased games and pre-ordered games from us. We wouldn't exist without you guys either, and we are appreciative of each and every one of you.
Yeah, you guys put out some quality stuff. We can jump right into it. You have the Spring Direct, which came out on March 25th, 2024, and I think it was your longest Direct, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was a beast. I pretty much had to lock myself in the room to write it because it was a long thing, and our editor, Tristan, video editor, he put everything together. He is a real rock star. He had to lock himself in his office for 4 days to get this thing done, and had to unfortunately have to send me the segments, and I had to say like, oh, this is missing, or can we use this or change this. It wasn't too much this time, but he did a phenomenal job, and it was a team effort for sure. But it was long, and it was, you know, it was long for a good reason. It was long because we had a lot to talk about.
I know you guys started off by going over just some general updates about series 6 and 7, specifically with some of the games that either have arrived or are still in production. Do you want to go over a little bit of that?
We always get these questions. Hey, when is my order shipping? What's the status? And we always try and address at the start of directs, because some people may not want to see all the new game announcements, but they want to update. So we make sure it's right at the start. We want to address that. We don't want to, you know, kind of be like, oh yeah, no, nothing's happening, I don't know. So with Wife Quest, we've got the carts in, part of Series 6. We're just waiting for the remainder of the physical items to come. They all come from different facilities. And once they're all into our assembly plant, the games will be assembled, shipped to our warehouse, and they will be shipped out for pre-orders, and we will have a second chance sale soon. So Wife Quest should be arriving here, you know, could be any day as far as we know. You know, it's a matter of time. Super Dungeon Maker, it's pair in Series 6. We delayed the physical production because the developers have flat out said, we have this major update coming in December. And we said, well, we want that major update on the cart. So we delayed the production purposely so that we can get that. And the update came, and it's out now digitally. And it's fantastic, but they're finding some minor bugs because you're a game this size and it's only two people in Firechick. So they're working diligently to iron out every bug, because we don't want to patch if we can avoid it to the best of our ability. So we're giving them their time. We're not hounding them. We're pretty much told them, like, let us know when it's done. Like, we're ready to go, but they're still working on it. And Julian from Firechick was kind enough to record a little video to explain that and apologize. And we wanted to highlight the update, because a lot of people, they'll pre-order and then they don't think about it. And then they come back, you know, 6 months later and go, oh, this hasn't shipped yet. What's going on? It's like, well, there's an update. Like, we've been trying to convey that message, and we want you to know, and it's for a good reason. And this update is massive. It's like five new themes and six new enemies, and the knight is a playable character, and other little like quality of life. It gets easier to build dungeons now with the Switch controller. And one of the things that you had to do was you had to get to a golden egg to finish the dungeon, and it was always on your starter floor. So you can go like seven floors down or seven floors up, but you always had to end on the base level of the dungeon. But now you can actually move the egg wherever you want. So you can end on the top floor, you can end on the bottom, or anywhere in between. So it took away that restriction. So now it's even, you know, more elaborate you can get. Like little things like that they did, which are awesome, are really awesome. And we're really excited for this one. So that will come soon. That will definitely be this year. Because like I said, all the content is done. It's just bug fixes at this point. And then for Series 7, Anarchard is, you know, and Lonesome Village are about to enter the production phase. The pre-orders are closed. Sunshine Anthology was slightly delayed because Camp Sunshine was supposed to be ported in the fall, and they virtually had to rebuild the entire game to get it on Switch. It's a true labor of love. Normally, they wouldn't even bother at this point. We've talked to developers. They're like, our game was built on older language. We're not going to bother. But they, because of the physical, they're like, oh, we have to do it now. Like, so they did it, and they're going to release it digitally. And at the time of the recording, that was the case. Now, I actually did get a picture from Fossil Games the other day of a Switch running Camp Sunshine. So it's very going cool. Through the lot check right now. They've fixed all the bugs, supposedly. We're not going to just instantly print once they get the lot check approved. We're going to let it sit for a little bit. Let's see if there's any bugs that other people find. But hopefully, fingers crossed here really soon, we'll have the digital version. And then as long as it's ironed out and everything's good, then we'll be able to finally print Sunshine as well.
What's the general lag in general, not specifically to Sunshine, but what's the general lag between lot check and printing?
So ideally, we have the physical lot check done before we put the games up for pre-order. That's what we try and do so that we can faster get it to production. Sometimes things don't always go to place because out of our hands. Like Sunshine, we were told, hey, it's going to be there in the fall. It's going to be good to go. Clearly, they ran into unforeseen bugs, and we didn't hound them. We were like, all right, take your time. We want the game to be perfect. So in cases like that, we didn't have the physical lot check done because the game's not out on Switch yet. So keep in mind, even when they say, guess what, guys, it's good to go, we now have to submit to physical lot check. Right. And they might find something. So it will be, it's not like it's printing tomorrow kind of deal. It will still be a little bit of time, but I wanted to give that little bit of update because it's just cool. Like they're moving along. So we try. It doesn't always work that way.
I'm curious what's involved with the lot check process. Like what exactly happens to the game during it?
So pretty much they have a team that will take a game and they will rigorously play it. They will just play it, test it, do things. When we first did Super Blood Hockey, this is a funny story because the reason we even do our series and we release the games as series is because of Lot Check. Because when we launched the company, we did Super Blood Hockey, we announced Pigeon Dev was coming, and we announced Robot was coming in the future. That was our first direct. And Super Blood Hockey was good. We did the pre-orders, and then we submitted for Lot Check. And it failed. And it kept failing. And they kept finding the weirdest bugs. Like, well, if someone picks up controller 3 and hits X, L, and R all at the same time while taking the control stick in a counterclockwise rotation, this happens. Like, no, this is never going to be found, but they found it. So we're like, all right, we had to go back to Loren. Like, hey, you need to fix this.
They, in this instance, is Nintendo, right?
Nintendo, yeah, themselves. And because of that delay, we're like, well, we got to get something out there. Let's put Pigeon Dev up. So we put Pigeon Dev up for pre-order. And Pigeon Dev had passed Lot Check. So we were good. But by the time Super Blood Hockey actually past Lot Check, at that point we were ready to order Pigeon Dev, so we said, let's just order them both together. And then they both came in together and we released, and we said, you know what, this is kind of works, let's kind of do in groups of series. So that's actually the reason we weren't ever planning on doing series. It was like a happy accident, and that's just the case. It's the same with Retrobox. Like, you know, all our games have a retro now and it's customary, but it wasn't originally planned that way. Super Blood Hockey was just launched as Super Blood Hockey, and Pigeon Dev was just supposed to be a standard and a deluxe, but because the Steelbook minimum printing was 2,000 and we only had planned doing 1,000 deluxe, what do we do with this 1,000 extra steel books? Well, what if we take the retro box that's already part of the deluxe and we do 1,000 on the side and sell that? And that went over so well that we decided to keep going, which is why we did the retro upgrade for Super Blood Hockey, so it wasn't left out. We had to retroactively do that. It's interesting how certain things, certain like that we don't plan on originally, wind up shaping how things go. But yeah, the lot check, it's all Nintendo. It has to be submitted for digital lot check and physical. and they are two different teams. Just because a game's good on digital does not mean it'll pass physical, like Super Blood Hockey, for example. So, like right now, Sunshine Camp Sunshine is submitted for digital. Sunshine Manor is already on the Switch. It's already passed. So once Camp Sunshine gets passed, all the bugs are supposedly ironed out, then we're going to resubmit it for physical, and hopefully that process goes smoothly.
Now, does Sony have a similar type of setup where there's like a similar type of quality before going to get the discs and all that for them?
Yes. Yep. Same thing. The negative part about it is they don't find everything, and that's why some games come out with game-breaking bugs and all that. I'm not talking day one releases. Like the reason there's a day one patch is because in order to have it in Walmart or Target or GameStop day one, it has to be produced early, and a lot of times it's produced before they even iron everything out, the way it's in manufacturing. But even for smaller companies like ours, some games unfortunately get out there with game-breaking bugs, and I'm not going to say we're never going to have one. We do our best to make our games content complete and with no bugs patches needed, but I can never say it's 100% going to be perfect every time, because that'd be impossible.
Do you guys do anything specifically for as you get into like NES releases, or because I think we're going to talk about a couple that you have as well? Do you do any internal, because I don't think anyone.
Yeah, Nintendo's not checking probably though. So.
So we do a little bit of internal, because remember we write the manuals, for example. So in order to write the manuals, Tristan, who did the editing, writes our manuals. He'll play through the game to write the manual and make sure. Some of our other team will play the games. A lot of these games already have digital releases, so people will play them on emulation and stuff like that.
Flash carts and stuff, yeah.
They have flash carts. I mean, there's always a possibility of a little NES jank and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But those are at least easier because it's a smaller print. We don't need to go through Nintendo. Obviously, they don't care about NES at this point.
Beyond Series 6 and 7, you also had some Series 5 notes specifically with the games in stock. Obviously, that could have changed by the time the Direct was out and this is being recorded, but I think you said that that all the Series 5 games were in stock, at least as of the time of the Direct, and there were some exclusive Raji cover variants available at Shopville. Can you go a bit more into that?
Yeah, so all of our Series 5 games, we still have some stock of all of them, at least the standards, not the retro editions. I think Love 3 might be the only retro edition we have, and I think we have some Raji collector's editions, but the numbers are going down. Like they're not lasting. But for all of our distributors, we allow them, if they want, to do a special variant just for them. Mm-hmm. So Shopville did a special Raji variant. It's got an exclusive slipcover and an exclusive dog tag. You can't get either of those items anywhere else. We don't have it on our website. We don't have it in our warehouse. This is all coming from them. They have 100% of the stock. So you can go to Shopville's website and you could purchase it. They are limited. It's no reprint of it. It is what it is. So if you're a variant hunter, absolutely pick this up. I bought a copy myself. I'm like, you know what? I love it, you know, and I didn't give an employee copy kind of deal. It's like, nope, they own everything. I had to buy my own copy.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we like to do that because it, you know, we have a really good relationship with our distribution network and our distribution partners, and we want to give them something cool if they're interested. And Shopville, you know, took advantage of that and said, yeah, let's do it. So we don't want to hear afterwards, oh, it's sold out, and is there any way I could still get it? I didn't know, if only I'd known. So we're doing our due diligence to let people know, like, it's there. You know, we can't guarantee everyone sees that it's there, but at least they can't get mad at us for not saying anything.
That's really cool. I'm not aware. Is that something that you guys did before with any other releases, or is it something that you might do in the future?
It's
you
something
are thinking
we did
of?
Once before with a robot named Fight. We worked with Retro Fighters, and there was a Retro Fighter standard and retro variant. And now going forward, absolutely. If any of our distribution partners are interested in doing a variant, absolutely. And there may be next Direct, who knows, maybe we'll be talking about another variant, who knows.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I think having variant covers and stuff is unique, especially as a physical collector. It's always cool to kind of see variants. Now, Seth mentioned that you guys have put out NES games, so for people who are listening and this is their first episode, they're not aware, Premium Edition does put out NES games, which is awesome, and two of your recent releases are currently available for pre-order, which is Jim and Dill and Jim and Dill 2. I think you've talked about about these last time when they were announced, but do you want to remind everyone about Jim and Dill?
Yeah, sure. So these are two NES titles from Cal Games that we talked about last time, and I jokingly internally said, like, oh, you know, we talked about them last time because we thought, hey, we're going to get them out a little sooner, and it took a little longer to do the testing on them and get the designs right, because we didn't even show designs because we didn't have them yet. We were in the process of working, and by the time we finalized the designs, they went up for pre-order, like, I think a week or two before the Direct, and I jokingly said, oh, if I wanted to, and I was clairvoyant, we could have actually announced them in this Direct, but it was already long enough. But they are on the website. There's very few of the silver versions left. There's not a lot of the regular versions left either, but the silver versions are significantly more limited. Both games are great. Jim and Dill 1 is like a Zelda-style game, and Jim and Dill 2 is more of a beat-em-up, but they are, there's a sequel. It was kind of taken on the, like, how Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 were two different types of games. But yeah, these are aftermarket NES games. These are actually NES games. They play on your NES. You don't need mods or anything. And like all of our releases, they actually do come with challenge cards, so you can earn a patch in these games as well. Pre-orders are up. They're not in production yet. They will be in production soon. So, you know, make sure to grab those copies now while you can. And you'll be soon rocking out with Jim and Dill very, very soon.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that they are two very unique games. So, like, if you showed me a screenshot of Jim and Dill and then you showed me Jim and Dill 2, I would not assume that they were at all related to each other, just in the style of gameplay.
He did that on purpose, and I think he might be working on a Jim and Dill 3, so we'll see.
Oh, nice. You heard it here first, folks. Unless they heard it somewhere else.
I don't know if I think I said that anywhere else, but I believe he's working on a Jim and Dill 3.
Brand spanking news.
Brand spanking news. So I know that sometimes there's inventory that sells out, and then there's sometimes thoughts about reprints and, like, standard editions. I don't think you talked about it during the Direct, but do you have any information in regards to any reprints that may be coming available possibly this year?
I can't say which games, but I can say that there will be some reprints.
Nice. That sounds good.
But when we do reprints, we don't do retros or anything.
Right, just standard editions. But yep. That's cool. So there will be possibly some second chances available for some premium edition standard editions.
Yeah, if there's enough demand and we're able to reprint, I mean, we will. It's just, it has to be demand to do it. And again, like, you know, older, we don't have contracts forever. Like, we don't retain the rights forever. So if it's too far out, we might not have the rights anymore to reprint. Not saying we will never do it and we can't reach out and get the rights again. But, you know, it's the farther out it is, the harder it is to do that, because we're out of contract at that point.
You guys had a whole bunch of updates on both Kickstarters and also other projects that are up and coming, one being Carl, Nintendo's yes. game. I don't know if any news has come out since this, but at least in the Direct, you mentioned that their Nintendo's working on a free update, and they do need a bit more time to get everything up to date, but it is on track to release in the summer.
We work with our developers 100%, and we don't like crunch. We don't want to put crunch. The reason Carl was even shown off, and the reason we even had to talk about it, is we showed it off last time, and we had to do that because of our other teas, which we'll talk about. We weren't able to show in the Direct, and we just didn't want the pipe button to just be, here's a note. So we said, well, let's put Carl in there as well, and at least give something fun. As Nintendo talked about it, we've had the game signed from the beginning because it's done by not only Nintendo, but Matt Bittner of Morningstar Game Studio, who did Robot Named Fight. And we want our developers to feel comfortable enough to work with us again. And he absolutely did. And we had the game signed for a while. It was one of those where they told us it was a free content update. We're like, we want that update on the cart. Like, we want it preserved. They told us that they would be good for the spring. And before this, you know, about a month or so, 2 months before the Direct or whatever, I reached out and said, hey, we're getting up for the spring, you know, everything on track. And they're like, we're a little behind. We need more time. And I'm like, summer? And they said, summer would be perfect. I said, okay. I said, well, we're going to have to announce that delay in the Direct. People are expecting. And Drew was nice enough to say, you know, I could record a video for that to explain. And I was like, oh, if you do that, that'd be fantastic. And what I didn't realize is he was actually going to show for the first time some of that new content. That was not shown anywhere before this Direct. So it was really cool to see some of that, you know, early shots of what's being added and some of the new stuff. So Carl's a phenomenal game. So I'm glad that they're adding to it.
Yeah, and I think it's nice that he was able to show that, because it also shows that, like, the delay is not a delay. It's a delay because there's actually value being added. And I think that helps with a lot of people with their patience to be able to know that there's some value getting added to it.
And on the topic of YouTubers making video games, Chadtronics, Poglings had an update. They shared a really cool update that just the game coming along in terms of some of the new features. There's like a new fighting mechanic. It's very reminiscent of the Chao karate from Sonic Adventure 2. And just some of the world just looks way more fleshed out in terms of like how it first looked when they first... I mean, in all honesty, I thought Poglings always looked good. But like compared to Poglings from when I watched the Direct versus when Poglings, I think when you guys first showed it, it looks like way different, like in terms of like just refinement. Like it's still the same game, but it just looks so much better in certain ways. And any other updates that you can provide about Poglings?
Poglings is it's coming along. It was nice that we were able to get some more footage because it was spring. It was actually the spring of last year that we announced it. I think the Kickstarter was still going at the time. I think the Direct was in the middle of that, and we were able to showcase it and everything. It was great. And in the fall, when we did the fall Direct, he didn't have any new footage that he felt comfortable. He was still in the works, so we said, "All right, well, we're not gonna show unfinished footage or footage that you're not comfortable with." So he was like, "Yeah, I've got a reel. It'd be great to show it off." So we were able to do that this time. And because people ask, "Where's Poglings?" Like it's in development. You know, we're only the physical publisher, but we are working with them to do what we can. We're in their corner. We're gonna do whatever we can to help them, and that's why we always say, like, hey, you know what, you right now you can show your support if you want for any of our Kickstarter games by wish listing on Steam, because it does show them that you're interested, and it helps them out. It doesn't help us out, it helps them out, and we're fine telling you that. And you know, that's why we put it in the Direct too, because you know, we want them to get all the love because they're awesome, and we hope that you also support the physical when it does come. But like all of our Kickstarters, including Sunshine that we just talked about, we don't put it up for pre-order until the game is done and ready to go. You know, even Sunshine, we had to wait for Camp Sunshine, but technically the Kickstarter that we were part of was for Sunshine Manor, which was done. Poglings will join a future series whenever that happens, and we're excited for it. We're excited to get it in our hands. We're excited for people to play it. It's just going to take a little more time.
Very fair. I mean, it's a pretty ambitious game, so I would rather take more time than it be rushed. Now, Crystalla also had an update, and Seth and I unfortunately did not run into them at PAX East because we weren't paying attention, but they were at PAX East. So Astral Clock Tower Studios are preparing for an early access PC release, and it's still a great looking game. I mean, it was great when you guys announced it, and it's still I'm excited
it
for it.
It looks so much better. Like, it looked great before, and it looks so much better. Like that trailer was their early access trailer that I think they released like 2 days or 3 days or something before, and that's for their early access in May. So we got to showcase that. But the footage that you saw while Sarah was talking was actually just a raw reel that they sent us and said, here's a raw reel of new footage, please use it as you want. So we were able to add that and incorporate that into the Direct, and it looks fantastic. Again, not only can you wish list this on Steam, you can still go to their backer kit. They have a backer kit. You can actually not only support them through a whole bunch of different ways there, including getting the physical, the Kickstarter version physical, is still available for PS5 right now. It's going to launch on Steam first, it's going to be finalized on Steam, and then it's going to be ported. So we're still a ways off before we can talk about the actual console version, but it's making headways. Like you mentioned, they were at PAX East. The reception has been phenomenal. There's going to be the PAX East demo, I believe, is also going to be launching before the early access, so probably sometime in April. So you'll be able to try the new demo as well as, of course, the early access in May. So definitely give them some love. They're an awesome team.
And getting into your Kickstarter news, because you guys got a whole bunch of Kickstarters that you announced, which with Godshard Chronicles, a new Kickstarter from JCat Games, which I thought was a very Mana-esque looking game.
The Kickstarter ended last night. It ended. We just came shy of the last bonus stretch goal, which was added with like 40 minutes to go. And like we tried to get $20,000 in 40 minutes. We got 10. We got 10. It did exceptionally well. The stretch goals that were beat, like Elman is, it was a phenomenal guy this is his brainchild. He was calling and messaging like the composers and all the like the guests, you know, composers would be like, hey, would you do another song? I'll put it into the stretch goal. And they're like, yeah, we'll do another song quickly. Let's throw it in. And of course we smashed through, and it was just an exciting night. And Gacha Chronicles is a Mana-esque game, the inspiration of Mana, Zelda, Lunar. It's 1 to 2 player co-op, and at the same time it's got a beautiful story. It's got animated cutscenes, hand animated cutscenes. And through the Kickstarter we hit goals like playing as the dog, new composers and new scenario writers from games like Wild Arms, Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. My biggest thing was we hit the goal where we're getting a prequel, a 5-hour prequel game.
Oh, that's
on
awesome.
One of the main characters. That is a separate game. That is a 5-hour bonus game that we hit, which is awesome. And I talked with Elman, and we're going to include that. Or at least the plan right now is to include that on the physical as well, so you get both games. Good news is, if you're hearing about this now for the first time and you didn't back it, we will have a backer kit. That is the plan, to have a backer kit up, and once that is announced, and we will share more information about that. So definitely support this game. This game is phenomenal, and we can't wait for it to come out. And it's going to be a bit before it's going to come out. It's got a big shoes to fill, and it's going to it's going to heavy development here very shortly. They're taking a little bit of a few days break after that craziness last night. Yeah. And they need a break. It's running a Kickstarter for a month is hectic. But we will provide updates going forward, like we do with all our Kickstarters in future directs. So we'll be talking about it a lot as we go through. And if there's any demos and stuff, you know, I think there will be a demo coming out later.
And as long as you tune in, I'm sure once a backer kit opens up, Barry will tell us.
Absolutely.
I do think it's really cool that they got the composer for Lunar and Grandia to work on it. I think that's awesome. Like, when you hear the music in the trailer, like, oh, it's so good.
Every time I hear that title song that plays in the trailer, I tear up. It's so good. And the cool thing is that's the Japanese version. But we actually hit the Kickstarter to have an English version done by the same vocalist who did the English Lunar tracks.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is all coming full circle.
Yeah. Having a game that's so heavily inspired by these classic RPGs, but with, like, this soundtrack that's on par with these classic RPGs just gives it so much more gravitas. It's just an awesome looking game.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, it's got, like I said, the scenario writers for Arms and stuff.
Oh,
also,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Contributing. So it's, you know, it's so many different RPGs are, you know, going to be influenced. And one of the main characters is voiced by John Truitt, who did the voice of Galleon from Lunar. And he's going to be the one that bonus game is based on. And he's going to be voicing that as well. It's really, really cool that all of this is coming together. And as an RPG lover, when I saw this game and just happened to find on about it, I was like, oh my god, like, yes, a billion times yes, like, we need to be a part of this. It took me like 6 months of poking Elman to finally get a meeting, and I was like, yes, we want to work together. And he was like, okay. And we hashed it out, and we were, you know, it was great.
And now another Kickstarter, Atomic Owl from Monster Theater Games, which I think I love the description that someone in the direct said, which is, it's a roguelike Sonic the Hedgehog.
He said that. That was him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that was him. Yeah. That's such a great description of what this game looks like. Fast-paced 2D platformer, Hollow Knight, Dead Cells, the kind of inspired game. It looks great.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this episode on release, there is still going to be time for you to go and kickstart this. So if you're listening to, as we will get into describing Atomic Owl and talking about it a bit more, but it is on Kickstarter. Just Google Atomic Owl Kickstarter and you'll be able to find it and back it. I believe based on release, there should be about 7 days left. So,
Okay, yeah, it was actually, as of the recording, it was funded today, so it's
Yeah, it
officially
was, it is,
funded.
and yeah, you're getting a product if you back it. So
That is, we are now 5 for 5 with Kickstarters in terms of funding. It is officially funded. We're now working on stretch goals. You know, it's I feel a little bad for it because like we couldn't we kind of shifted marketing towards Godshard because it was ending, and like now we're like we're shifting back over to Atomic
yeah, but
Owl.
then you'll get them when they're ending.
Yeah, of course, and that's well, we're still supporting it, you know, right now, and the fact that it's funded and everything, that's great. And he's got a lot of plans. Still 3 weeks as of now. There's 3 weeks left to go, so absolutely, you know, support this game. This is an action roguelike or neo roguelike, as he likes to call it, almost like a Metroidvania platformer. You play an owl with a demonic blade that talks to you, and it changes to different weapon types, and the it's like a cyberpunk style aesthetics. Beautiful, beautiful soundtrack. That was the one theme like everyone saw. Like every one of our games are beautiful soundtracks that we showed off at this direct. And it's like, yeah, this is just a really, really cool idea, really, really cool game. The developer, very, very passionate. He's the kind of guy that he says, I have a question, and you call, and then you talk for an hour and a half. And I speak from experience. He's just that cool. He's we've had that many a times. Give some love to him. This is truly a cool game. There's a lot of ways you could back it and support it. And again, we're doing the physical for Switch and PlayStation 5. Kickstarter exclusive versions. Make sure to grab those. It really helps.
Now, jumping into the Series 8 titles, so all the new stuff. You got some three really cool looking games. So I'll just list them and then we'll just break them down. So Gordian Quest from Mixed Realms, available for pre-order, actually as of March 25th. Tadpole Treble Encore by Bitfinity, the Taranto Brothers, available for pre-order 4/8/2024, and Scarlet Tower by Pi Exeralia, and that is 4/22/2024. Let's start us off. Gordian Quest. Tell us all about Gordian Quest.
So Gordian Quest was the title that we teased last time with the note, and many people did not see that when it happened. And I know that because when I was going on different podcasts, they always forgot it, and I always asked them, and they always said, "Oh yeah, I didn't see that." So I would make them watch it live and react to it live on the podcast. I'd be like, no, we're doing this now because we're here to represent all of our studios that we work with and all of our games, and we didn't want anyone to be left off. But Gordian Quest is a phenomenal RPG with the inspiration of games like Dungeons and Dragons, and it's got, it's the deck building elements, but it's not overwhelming deck building elements. There are over 700 cards, but you don't have that many in your deck. You have 10 different characters. That you can make a party of three with, and you can change it out whenever. Each character, when you recruit the character, you get your choice of four starter decks, and they're very different. Different themes, some cards are shared, but you get to play how you want to play with each of the characters. And then, as you go through skill trees, you can unlock the ability to get cards from those other decks. By the end of the game, you have a hybrid deck of only that character's card list. And each character, you have mages, you've got archers, you've got, warriors, you've got, and they all have different mechanics and different builds. And it's just really cool the way it works, and it works well. And this is the type of game that you can play on the surface and have fun with, or you can spend the time and master, and you go onto a whole new level. So there's an overarching story. There's a 20 to 30 hour campaign. As you go through, you pick different nodes to either, do battles, go through dungeons, explore, do quests. Some nodes are just question marks, and when you go to them, it's like a D&D style thing where it's like, oh, you hear a song in the forest. Do you want to follow it? Or do you want to leave? And, if you follow it, it'll be, oh, there's a trap here. Do you escape the trap, roll for initiative kind of deal? And you have to roll and pick which character, or all the characters have to go through it. And it's really cool because in Dungeons and Dragons, when you have those kind of systems, it's based on your dex or your agility or whatever. The same applies here, except you can actually sacrifice a card, temporarily sacrifice a card, to add to your roll modifiers to give yourself a better option. But then you lose that card until you rest. You have to try and weigh, am I going to take this gamble? And you're still no guarantee with a gamble, but if you gamble and succeed, great. But now you're going to draw a card in the battles, and you're going to be like, I can't use this card. And battles are cool because you get 3 points a turn to do things on each character. So some cards will chain together, and some cards will put shields up, some, or you'll move. And moving around the grid, it's like a grid base, takes turns too. and it's really strategic, really a lot of fun, multiple difficulty settings. And there's also a roguelike element in the sense of a separate mode where you could just go in and play and it's different every time. And that's completely separate than this 20 to 30 hour storyline. It's just an extra mode they added. There's so much content to this game. It's incredible. And we're so happy that we're able to be working with Mixed Realms to bring it out. It's a game that we've had for a while and we've been dying to get out there because people have been asking us for RPGs. And it's such a unique RPG and it plays really well on the Switch. And it's out now for pre-order. And I implore you, if you're interested, definitely pick this up. Like, if you like RPGs, you would be just doing yourself a disservice, really.
I personally, I haven't played a lot of deck building games, but it looks neat. So it's definitely a game I'm going to keep an eye on, at least. Seth, I don't know if you play much deck building games.
No.
But he's a D&D guy, so.
I am a D&D guy.
So you're a D&D. That's why I said, like, the deck building is not, like, overwhelming. Like, you have a deck of, like, 15 cards. It's not like one of those games where they give you 30 and you have to make a deck of 15 and choose. You get 15 cards and that's it. When you get a new card, you add to your deck. Like, that's it. Like, you can subtract from your deck with certain skill nodes, but otherwise every card you add actually adds to the deck. You get a draw of, like, 7 cards a turn, and, like, if you don't use those cards, you get to pick maybe one or two to save, and then the rest go out, and you draw a whole new hand every turn. So even cards that are, you know, used, you'll see again, and the cards are very straightforward. Like, a lot of them are straightforward. It's like, oh, do 15 attack. And the other cool thing is you can actually upgrade your card. So, like, in standard RPGs, you upgrade your weapon. Here, you can upgrade your card. So each card gets 4 levels. So if do 15 attack, do 19 attack, do 24 attack, do 30 attack. And now that card is significantly stronger. But there's also equipment and weapons you can get. And some of those equipment actually will give you cards. These arm pieces will give you magic missile. And then will also, like, enhance magic missile damage by 5. So now you gain a new card in your deck as long as you're wearing those on your character. And then they'll also do more damage. So if you happen to be wearing that on a deck that already has magic missiles, great. They're all more powerful. So you can really pick and choose. There's different grades of equipment from, like, common to rare and legendary and all that stuff. So there's a real insane amount of levels or depth, I should say, to this game.
Yeah, it's a cool looking game for sure.
Definitely. I really enjoyed the art style. I thought it was pretty cool.
Another game that I personally think also has a really cool art style is Tadpole Treble Encore from Bitfinity.
Kind of a little trippy.
Yeah, it is trippy. To me, it reminded me of, like, if someone was playing around in the Mario Paint Music Maker and they made a video game just out of that. So, like, it's like an action Mario Paint Music Maker.
Kind of. So Tadpole Treble is a rhythm platformer where you play a tadpole and you get caught and you're at the top of a mountain and you've got to go down to the bottom. You got to get through the streams and each level you're going through the scales of music, and every level has its own original song, and you have to play, and it's unlike Guitar Hero Rock Band where you're playing the song. The funny thing is all the music notes in this game they're obstacles. You want to avoid the notes that are being played. And I think that's so cool because it kind of turns everything on its head, where you're so used to playing rhythm games where you hit the notes, and here you have to dodge all the notes. Meanwhile, you have to collect other stuff and try and dodge other enemies on top of the notes. And it's really, really fun experience. Some levels have you go backwards. This is a hard game. Like, this does ramp up, and some of the songs have lyrics and you're, like, paying attention to the lyrics and you're messing up because they're funny lyrics and it's like, oh my God. You know, it does have a level editor as well, so you can do the Mario Paint style thing, but then you get to play the levels and share the levels. This is actually a Wii U game. This was a Kickstarter. It was successfully Kickstarted for Wii U. It came out on Wii U to critical acclaim. They saw the writing on the wall and they're like, oh, you know, like, the Wii U is dying and the Switch is out now. So they brought it back with that's what the Encore is. It's Tadpole Treble Encore because it's the Switch version. They added a new stage. They added new features for the Switch version. So this is, like, the definitive version of this game. And it is quite meaty. There's a lot of levels, a lot of replay value. And we're really happy to be working with Bitfinity. And like I said, that goes up as of this recording, it goes up next week, but as of the time you're listening to this, it's up now. So definitely, you know, check this out. And if you checked out the direct, you know the type of hilarity you're in for playing this game. If you watch the Toronto Brothers do their sketch, which they did not have to do, and they totally went all in on it, and I would love that they did. They have a great sense of humor, and that translates into the game as well.
Brothers always do. We have a great sense of humor. It's only for a couple of states that actually really like it, but
yeah, the other states were banned, and so we can't. And the last game for Series 8 is Scarlet Tower, which reminds me a lot of Vampire Survivor, but kind of on a way bigger scale. And also, I was getting like Vampire Survivor meets a bullet hell and just the like sheer amount of things that were coming at the main character. Like, is just a lot of stuff. But it's really cool. It has kind of a art style very reminiscent of Castlevania. And yeah, tell us a bit about Scarlet Tower.
Scarlet Tower, we were actually lucky to get this game. This game is, as of this recording, is actually in lot check right now with Nintendo. So Douglas has been keeping me up. So it's actually not even available digitally yet. So we played the Steam version. We fell in love with this game. And they went really ham on the content. This game is meaty. There's a ton of characters. There's a ton of skills. There's a ton of builds. And there's the day-night system. There's just so many things that they did in this game. And this game actually is here because of Carl. Because when Carl said no, we needed something else to fill its spot. And this was the game. We're like, oh, yeah, are you interested in being bumped up? And they're like, yes. So Scarlet Tower gets to be brought over. And we're glad. Because Scarlet Tower is just a phenomenal game. And I know a lot of people like Vampire Survivors. And if you like Vampire Survivors, you will absolutely love this. And if Vampire Survivors wasn't your thing, you might actually like this better because of all the added RPG elements to it. And they go ham. And the art style, like you said, is very Castlevania-esque. It's just beautiful, beautiful game. Beautiful soundtrack. Yeah, that goes up on the 22nd of April. So check this out. It's worth your time. Like I said, it's not even out in Switch at this point. So we're waiting for that that final, hey, guess what, it's here, in which case it'll be great, you know, to be able to play this on Switch. I love this game so much on Steam, and for me it's harder to sit and play a game on Steam because I'm stuck at my desk. I don't have a Steam Deck, so I can't wait to like veg on the couch and play this on Switch. It's gonna be addicted. And you know, it's fun when you play certain builds. Like, I played this one build where I had, like, during the night, I had, like, this ridiculous regen. Like, I was, like, any enemy that hit me, I was instantly cured, and my spells did so much more damage, and I was like, I am untouchable. Then, like, the Reaper came, and it's, like, 30 minutes in, the Reaper's trying to kill me, and I'm running away. I'm like, I'm gonna get you, you know, I'm fine. And I looked in the top right corner, and I'm watching it slowly tick to daytime, and I'm like, no. And, of course, ticks to daytime, and I lose all my buffs, and the Reaper just... I'm like no. So it's really fun because you have to, it's like an added strategy element to it, and it just be, you know, that's the game. Okay, next time I'll come back stronger. And if it's one of those games that, you know, people have played, you know, well over 90 hours on the Steam version of this game, so we expect, you know, people doing the same thing with the Switch. So we're glad to be able to bring this out physically. No Vampire Survivors doesn't have a physical, so at least, you know, if anything, this will be you know, a game that's preserved.
With the Series 8 titles, you do release your games in both standard editions and also retro editions. And the standard edition always comes with some stuff, and then the retro edition always comes with a little bit more. Generally, it looks like each one of them will be coming with a soundtrack with retro. Do you want to give a breakdown in regards to what the editions will come with?
Yeah, so the standard comes with a full color instruction manual between 20 and 40 pages, slipcover sleeve, as well as a double-sided inlay, and our challenge card, where we have the developers come up with a challenge for you, the gamers, to accomplish. And should you accomplish it, share it on social media, we will mail you a physical patch as our way of saying congratulations for achieving the goal. It's something that's really, really cool that we only do. And for the retro editions, all of that is in the retro edition. It comes in a retro-inspired box, which is the size of the Super Nintendo or an N64 game. You mentioned they all come with soundtracks, and we're in the talks of what exactly the extra item is going to be. We want it to be a surprise, so right now it's listed as bonus item, but it's going to be some cool stuff that we're working with to get out there for everybody. So we'll have more to announce about that soon.
Yeah, and historically you've included bonus items that may be like art books or something. Like, it really depends on each individual developer, but you usually work with the developer to include something that is something that they want to bring forward. So whether it be like a figure or an art book or something like that, you guys will tend to work with them to make it happen.
Yeah, we've done keychains, we've done stickers, we've done coasters, we've done cards, we've done comics, we've done art books, you know, we've done a bunch of different things, and we're just like, all right, you know, we'll work with them, and we'll figure out what we want to do. We have ideas. It's not like we don't have any ideas. We just haven't announced anything yet. We're focusing on the games, and then we'll announce those bonus items at a later time. Just know you're going to get something really awesome. And if all these games sound exciting to you, we do also offer the Mega Pack, where you can get all the games in one click, including games that are not up for pre-order. So if you're listening to this on launch and the Scarlet Tower is not up yet, you can still get the Mega Pack of all three games, either standards, all retros, or both standards and retros. And that way you don't have to worry about coming back. It's a click and you're done, and you don't have to worry about it after that.
We did just talk about the challenge cards and being able to receive a patch for doing the challenge from the developer. You also send out patches for people who do unboxings for the series. And if they get a item from Series 8 and they unbox and do an unboxing video and then send it to you guys, you'll send them a patch specifically for Series 8.
Correct. Any of the games in Series 8 will get that.
If you want to go back and do them, you can go back to what series do you have patches for?
I know we definitely have 4, 5, 6. We might still have a few for 1, 2, and 3.
You could try to send as early as you can. Just know the earlier you go, the more chance that you run into them not having patches because they're all a limited quantity. For sure for 8, you'll have some.
For sure.
Yeah, but of course you guys always have a nice little special announcement at the end, except for that one time you broke the hype button. You still had the special announcement, it just came out. I think you guys did it where it's like you broke the hype button and then it came out as a separate video.
No, that was with Gordian Quest. We still showed off Carl,
though.
We still shut off Carl. I've had the hype button sometimes do reveals for the series. Like Mighty Fight Federation was a hype button, and the Retroware games, Ego Island Twist and Love 3, were hype buttons. And they joined. That was a surprise, as they also wound up joining the series. But we like to do little teases for the next series.
And this next one looks cool. Cursed Crackers, For Whom the Bell Toils by Colorgrave. You want to tell us all about this game?
Yeah, so Cursed Crackers is a phenomenal action platformer that's done in a Game Boy Color aesthetic. It is such a great experience. It's got side quests. It's got multiple objectives per level. It's just a well-crafted, beautiful game. Colorgrave did a phenomenal job, and what wonderful people too. Just happy to work with them. Happy to be able to bring this out. You know, it's just, they were so happy to be joining the premium family, and we were so happy to have them. And I told them, I said, you know, unfortunately, I said, our spring series is full. But when we signed, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I said, I would give you the hype button spot. And they were like, oh, okay, that's really cool. So we get to tease it, and you know, that is a tease for Series 9. So that, you know, it's not going to be up for pre-order anytime soon, but summer is just around the corner. So
I guess
we'll see.
That's true, yeah. It looks like a really awesome game. I mean, you say like Game Boy Color aesthetic, but it almost gives me vibe of like plugging in a non-Game Boy Color game into like a Super Game Boy and like the color palette that it applies. It's like a very intentional limited palette. And I think looks really cool. Like all the characters, they're like one solid color, but they have gradients to them. So like the main character is like pink, but has like gradient to her. I love that kind of aesthetic. I think it looks really good. And it looks like it's a fun game just in general.
One of the cool things is at the end of the level, you send Belle, your companion, to capture the goal. And depending on how far away you shoot Belle from, the more points you get. And even in the trailer, there's an example of one of them where she throws Belle and she does all these acrobatics to get to the goal while chasing Belle. And Belle will get to the goal as she gets there. And like, that's like obviously a full credit point. Like it becomes like a new game. Like how, like you get to the end, how do I do this? How far away can I do this? Cause it's not like one of those things where Belle hits the end of the screen. Belle will keep going. You can call Belle back, but Belle will keep going. So it's really, really interesting. And you can use Belle for platinum forms. You could jump up and throw Belle downwards. And then when Belle hits the ground and bounces up, you bounce off of her and get even higher. It's so cool. And the bosses are so unique. They all have little puzzle elements to them, you know, like how to figure out how do you attack. It's just a really well-designed, fun adventure that we're just unbelievably excited and shocked that we're able to get, and we're able to work with them because they're awesome. So we're very appreciative, and we hope you're all excited. We are very excited about it, and, you know, we'll have more to talk about soon. You know, it's definitely something to keep in the back burner and keep thinking and keep getting excited for the physical, because it will be coming soon, but You know, you just have to wait. Series 8 needs to run its course first.
That's pretty much your guys' direct. I mean, I know we always ask for a little sneak peek at what you can give us, and I know you're very limited on that. You can't obviously reveal any major secrets.
I mean, I've given you a couple things, actually.
You have. That's true.
And you know, normally when we go into direct, we have a tease, and we were actually going into this direct like, oh man, are we going to have anything to show? Because we teased Gordian Quest and Carl. Like, we've already teased two of the games. Well, it turns out we wound up getting new surprises. And I'm like, oh, but now I'm thinking, well, next direct, we Carl and Curse Crackers are already teased. Are we, you know, what are we going to surprise people with? And the answer to that is going to be something we think is awesome. And we have some cool surprises for Series 9 and for the Series 9 Direct. Some of those surprises, you're going to have to wait for the summer series when it comes out. Some of those surprises will come sooner.
Ooh.
And I will give you guys a little exclusive, because at the time that this goes live, it will almost be up. But for those listening, you might hear this first, but at least it'll be first recorded here. We did launch at the end of February. We launched God Shard Chronicles, which wound up overlapping with Atomic Owl in the end of March. Atomic Owl is also going to overlap with another Kickstarter that we're a part of.
Ooh.
We are going to keep the daisy chain going. So there's your tease. 2024 is going to be our biggest year ever, and that's only going to bleed into 2025.
And which means there'll be lots of berries on this show.
Well, one of the things I was joking about, because you mentioned the direct is the longest ever. When I was doing the editing, you know, like not the video editing, like the review editing, because I had to review each section. I was watching like, oh, this section's 5.5 minutes. This section is like 4.5 minutes. Oh, this one's 5:15. Great. When I got to the Kickstarter, it was 20 minutes. And I was like, holy crap, you know, and of course, when writing the script, I have no idea how long any section is going to be, because it depends on the big length comes from the trailers and the developer messages, right. Which I may know the trailers, but I don't know it all together. I'm not thinking about that. And we also want to convey all that information. We don't just want to do trailer. We want to take time to pause and talk about the games and let it digest. But I said to Tristan, I said, you know, next direct and going forward, we're going to break Kickstarter into two, an update section and a new Kickstarter section, because
nice.
We're gonna have to, you know, because it's only getting bigger. I mean, next direct, I can already spoil this, there'll be a section for Poglings, Crystalla, you know, God Shard Chronicles, and Atomic Owl to all get a chance to submit information or an update or a video or whatever they want to submit to us. Give them a chance,
let alone the new Kickstarter
and any other ones that come between now and the summer that we're going to talk about. You know, so it's already going to be big.
yeah, for sure.
But I hope you guys enjoyed it. We tried and put on a good show.
Yeah, no, we loved it. Yeah, I always like what you guys put together. It's always a fun time. And we're excited to have you on whenever we have you on. So
yeah, so with that, I think we should just close out everything.
Barry, where can people find you and get in touch if they have questions about Premium Edition games?
So you could find me personally on Twitter, on Blue Sky, and on Fuse at Hawk Hellfire. You could find Premium Edition at Premium Edition 1 on Twitter, and Premium Edition Games everywhere else. And yes, I called it Twitter, not X, because it's just a habit, but you know what I'm talking about. Of course, premiumeditiongames.com. Make sure to get your pre-orders in, and make sure to get our in-stock games. We've got a lot of in-stock games, but they're winding down. They're definitely running out. So, you know, those are in stock. Those, you don't have to wait. You can get those games. You can play those games. You can work on the challenges. We've got some fantastic games in stock.
We're always happy to have you on. And if anyone wants to reach out to us, you can send us an email, classicgamingbrothers@gmail.com. We're available on Facebook, Classic Gaming Brothers, Instagram, Classic Gaming Brothers, X/Twitter, CG Brothers Pod, Blue Sky CG Brothers Pod, and Threads, Classic Gaming Brothers. We're available wherever podcasts can be found, be it iHeartRadio or Podbean or iTunes or YouTube. But you can always find us at classicgamingbrothers.com. And with that, Seth, am I forgetting anything?
Don't play games like my brother.
And don't play games like my brother.
And don't play games like me.
I've been Seth.
I've been Zach.
And I've been Barry.
This has been the Classic Gaming Brothers
and Barry.
That's right.
That's right.